The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
It's time to immerse yourself in the world of college football. ESPN 1000 has studied hard and has all the answers. This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Advanced degrees not required. Understanding the Wildcat? Essential. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. We are here till 1 o'clock today talking college football with you. We are presented by Nissan. And you can also watch the show this morning on Twitch. ESPN 1000 Chicago is our Twitch channel. We have made it. It's week 13 in college football, Abdallah, rivalry weekend, as we have a lot of college football to tackle here in the next 2 hours.
Puns intended. It's awesome. It's great. I love rivalry weekend. Best games of the year. Also the saddest time of the year, because next week is championship weekend,
yeah.
And then it is the longest time before meaningful football again. Like, it's like the day after Christmas, right? It's the longest time until the next Christmas. And for kids, that's like the worst day of the year.
Sure.
For me, this is one of the best days, and it's one of the worst days. I love the Iron Bowl. I love the game that's coming up here in a little bit. I love Bedlam. It's all awesome. But then it's like, okay, it's so hard to say goodbye here because we know it's over and it goes by so quickly. But there is a ton on the line today, especially in this first game between Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on the games that are about to kick, the 11 o'clock kickoffs around college football. Georgia will be in play against Georgia Tech. We'll keep our eyes on Baylor, the number 8 team in the country. They're hosting Texas Tech. A lot of good action here in the early window. And most importantly, Ohio State, the number 2 ranked team in the country at 10-1, 8-0 in the Big Ten, on the road in Ann Arbor, Michigan, in the Big House against the Michigan Wolverines, the number 5 team in the country. They are also 10-1. They have one loss in the Big Ten. They're 7-1. And this game is to play and be the team coming out of the East in the Big Ten for the Big Ten championship. And clearly, if this whoever wins this game moves on to the Big Ten championship, that team will be the team that controls their own destiny to get into the college football playoff as we head into this final weekend. Michigan, Ohio State, the big game coming up in just moments.
There's so much strength on this team on both sides of the ball. Ohio State, the number 1 offense in the country. Michigan, one of the better defenses in the country. Michigan's offensive line leads the league in not allowing tackles for a loss. They're playing great football, running the ball. I mean, we've talked about C.J. Stroud, who is hands down the overall favorite to win the Heisman now. He's up to like minus 220. Like, there's no point in even betting it anymore because there's no value. Like, there are just stars all over this field. It looks great on TV. It's snowing now. Everybody's bundled up. It's going to be great. But when you look at this matchup, like I mentioned, stars everywhere, talent everywhere, strength everywhere, but it comes down to the one storyline that we always talk about on this weekend, that we always talk about with Jim Harbaugh and his inability to beat Michigan State and his inability to beat Ohio State. Is today finally the day that he gets over the hump? And because Ohio State has been playing lights out football.
Mm-hmm.
Since they lost to Oregon, they've been playing great football. They're up to number 2 in the college football playoff ranking. They win and they're in, obviously, to the Big Ten championship game. They'll either face Wisconsin or Iowa in that game. So to me, if you look at this game, like, this is huge, but this is a big game for Jim Harbaugh. This is one of the best teams he's had to go up against, this Ohio State team. And today might be the day for them.
Ohio State has won a school record 8 straight in this matchup, one short of the series record that Michigan set from 1901 to 1909. Ohio State has won 15 of the last 16 matchups in this great rivalry. The Buckeyes and the Wolverines, they will meet for the 24th time and the third straight where they are both in the top 10 ranked when this meeting takes place. One of the all-time great matchups and rivalries in all of sports. And, you know, we are here to talk college football, but really, when you think of rivalries with all types of sports, Bears-Packers, people would suggest in baseball it'd be Yankees-Red Sox. In college football, there are so many great rivalries, and that's why this weekend is so fantastic. We have the Iron Bowl down in Alabama. We have Bedlam in Oklahoma. We have the Apple Cup that took place last night. All kinds of different games all over the place. But really, this is the game. It's Michigan and Ohio State. And a matchup that I want to look at, Abdallah, as we head into this game is that Ohio State's defensive line has been fantastic. They have eight linemen with at least one sack or more, giving the Big Ten the best as far as defensive fronts, leading the way with 37 sacks. Haskell Garrett, defensive tackle, Zach Harrison, defensive end, both getting to the quarterback. And also, Michigan's offensive line, a strength of theirs, not only running the football, they've given up just 9 sacks on the season, tied for 4th in all of college football as far as protecting their quarterbacks. So when you look at this matchup, I think you mentioned all the different stars that are going to be on the field and making plays, but a lot of it starts in the trenches, and a lot of it starts up front with Michigan protecting their quarterback and running the football against a really stout and good defensive front from Ohio State.
Yeah, and what's great about them, too, is they love to control the clock, like you mentioned it, with their running game, with their offensive line. They're 12th in time of possession in college football. That's one of the best in the country, obviously. And they're, I mean, Hassan Haskins, Blake Corum, their two running backs have been leading the way for them. And if you look at the weather today, it's cold, it's snowy. This is perfect for this game. You're going to need to control the clock because the way, what we've talked about with Ohio State is their struggles inside the red zone. But what did we see last week against Michigan State? You don't need to score from the red zone if you don't get, like, you don't have red zone problems if you're scoring 30 yards out, 40 yards out because of how good CJ Stroud was playing in that first half last week. I don't even know if he played. I don't think he played in the fourth quarter of that game because he was just out there. He had 6 touchdowns. Like, the dude was playing out of his mind. And if that's something that they can exploit today, the big play and chunk plays that Michigan tends to give up. You know, they're great in the red zone. But between, you know, the 20s, they can give up those big chunk plays. And against Ohio State, those can turn into touchdowns. You're looking at a slippery field here. How does that affect each team's and their corners and their safeties and everything like that? So this could be, I hope it's not like the Michigan State game for Ohio State because I'd like to see a close game. But I don't know. It just seems like a hump that this Michigan team cannot get over.
Michigan Stadium, a sea of yellow pom-poms as the Michigan Wolverines have just entered the field. They are wearing all blue with the maize numbers for this rivalry game as they just start to huddle, and they will have the kickoff in just moments between Ohio State and Michigan. And you're right, the snow is falling. You see a little accumulation on the field already as the snow has been falling for about, 20, 30 minutes as we were watching on College Game Day before we came into the studio here. And as the game broadcast begin, as Ohio State is now entering the field in all in the white and scarlet gray, and you get the uniforms with the fantastic helmet matchup today, which also paints a picture of great rivalries and also the great notes of nostalgia in college football. Like that's the thing that I always like to point to is I like in these rivalry games when the teams keep it how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like I don't like when Nike rolls out the new unis for different games like this or different helmets for these situations. Mm-hmm. You know, the Ohio State silver helmet with all the Buckeye patches all over it for those who've had fantastic seasons as Ohio State now entering the field at Michigan Stadium. And this is the game that we're going to keep our eyes on. Tyler Aki's with us, and every 30 minutes he'll give us a top 25 scoreboard, and this will be the game that we'll be talking about the most as we go along here on Chicago's College Tailgate. It's Black and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So that's the big game that we have our eyes on. Obviously, Georgia, the number one team of the country, they're facing off against Georgia Tech. That game has already kicked off. That game's down in Georgia at Georgia Tech. We'll have our eyes on there. Houston's playing UConn. Not that big of a deal, but that is a top 25 matchup with the Houston Cougars as the 24th ranked team in the country. Wake Forest has had a fantastic year. They just locked up their head coach going forward. They're 9-2 on the road at Boston College. Perhaps this is an upset alert game, as Wake Forest is the 18th ranked team in the country. That's a first quarter, no score at this moment. We'll see if Boston College can hang tough today. But there's a lot of good matchups as we go along here in week 13 of the college football season. And it really kicked off on Thursday night. Thanksgiving night, we saw Ole Miss over Mississippi State, 31-21. Mississippi State, Lane Kiffin, getting to 10 wins for Ole Miss, and whether or not Lane will be in the conversation for many of these openings around college football going forward. We had yesterday, we see Iowa win, we see North Carolina State win, both ranked teams. And then Cincinnati, the fourth ranked team in the country, they moved to 12-0, finishing their regular season with a victory over East Carolina, 35-13. And over the last week, Cincinnati finally invited in to the college football playoff rankings in the top four. And whether or not Cincinnati can hold on to that spot by the time we get to December the 5th and we get to the selection show for the college football playoff.
Chris, just as the prophecy foretold, just as I foretold weeks ago, I told you to keep your eyes out for Notre Dame. I said Cincinnati would move up. The committee did a good job by moving Alabama down. They've been playing like crap. Send a message. Get rid of that rat poison. Send a message that this team has not been playing well. In fact, when we talk about the Iron Bowl, I will tell you that this is one of the worst Alabama teams in the last 10 years. However, they only have one loss right now. Oh, yeah. Just watch out for it. Watch out. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. A little upset alert already for the Crimson Tide.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, you know, you look at the rankings and how Cincinnati is in there. They win big yesterday against East Carolina. So they're pretty much locked in. They're locked into their championship game next weekend, obviously. And then after that, you look at Michigan number four, Notre Dame number six. Something is going to give today as this game is about to kick off between Ohio State and Michigan. And Ole Miss now number nine. You know, this is a great year for Lane Kiffin when you look at it, and all of these coaching jobs are open, and all of these other coaches that we talk about maybe taking the step up are getting extensions. Baylor's coach gets an extension. James Franklin of Penn State gets an extension. And then you see the trickle down now where a lot of these jobs are still vacant. Is Luke Fickell going to take the next step? Is Matt Campbell going to take the next step and move up to an elite program? LSU is still open. USC is still open. Miami might be open at the end of the year, which we've talked about here. You heard it here first, Black and Abdallah, that Miami would be the perfect place for Lane Kiffin. You heard it here first. I'll put it on patch if you need
still
me to.
Still not even an open gig yet.
Nope. I'll
Manny
put it on.
Diaz
Do I
still
write
there.
It? Do I have to write it on patch?
Okay.
That he would be a perfect fit.
You subscribe to that?
I don't know.
Okay.
No. No. So yeah, I mean, look, a lot still has to shake out, and you will see it shake out for these college football rankings. We'll get the final rankings not this Tuesday, but December 5th. It'll be the final rankings, and as the prophecy has foretold, Chris, the prophecy that I've told you about is that we will get Georgia, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame.
We have 100,000 people in the big house. There's Michigan fans waving the yellow pom poms. Kickoff has taken place. The big game between Michigan and Ohio State has begun, and Michigan will receive the ball. We'll keep our eyes on that game. Coming up next, we preview Bedlam. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, coming up later on this evening. We'll talk about it next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.
Black and Abdallah.
Follow them on Instagram at Adam A. Abdallah and at C. Black. Welcome back to Chicago's College Tailgate.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Keeping our eyes on Michigan and Ohio State. That game's taking place in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Abdallah, you know, when I think about great rivalries and this great rivalry and the games from like our childhood, you know what game always stands out to me between Michigan and Ohio State? Do you remember the Tim Biakabatuka game against Ohio State. He ran for 313 yards on 37 carries for Michigan against a undefeated Ohio State team. Mm-hmm. They ruin Ohio State's chances for the national title. Northwestern gets the bid to the Rose Bowl that year because of Tim Biakabutukan and Michigan winning a football game where they were the heavy underdog, but they ran the football well. That game always sticks out in my mind between these two, Ohio State and Michigan.
Well, Michigan driving right now. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
It's Buck and Abdallah talking college football with you here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Will in Virginia listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Will?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, you're talking about Ohio State and Michigan, and so obviously I want Ohio State to win, but, like, I was thinking about it, and it's crazy, at least to me, how, you know, Michigan is the home team. They do just have one loss. They are, you know, fifth in the playoff ranking, and it's like, it would still feel like a monumental upset if they beat Ohio State, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially the way that this team has played against their two rivals since Jim Harbaugh has been there.
Exactly. Winless, and, like, psychologically, I mean, growing up in Columbus in the 90s, it was John Cooper, and they just lost every year, it felt like. And so it's weird seeing how, not weird, but, you know, it's like on the other side of that now. But, I mean, if Michigan still can't win today or at least keep it close, I mean, didn't Harbaugh get that contract extension before the year? Like, what happens with that? I mean, I guess he's not going anywhere, right?
Well, he
took a pay cut.
Yeah, he got the extension, he took a pay cut. So he's not getting fired at the end of this game if they lose. But there's already been question marks about his ability to win the big games. And if he's got two losses at the end of today, those two losses will be to the two teams he's had problems with his entire career in Michigan. It's Michigan State and Ohio State. The two teams that like again, if you're a Bears coach and you're bad, but you beat the Packers, like you're not as bad, right? Like you're not okay. Like you're not as bad as people think because you beat the rival every single year. Whereas Harbaugh has the exact opposite problem where he can win, you know, nine games a year, but he's losing to Michigan State and Ohio State every single year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Ohio State will pull it off today, but I don't know. I know Michigan was driving, so I guess we'll see how they do in the snow.
Thanks, Will. Thanks for the phone call. Did you have a good holiday?
Guys. Yeah, it was good. How about you guys?
Yeah, everything's good. Good to hear
awesome.
From you, Will.
Yeah, always.
All right, man, that's Will in Virginia calling in, Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Abdallah, let's take a look at Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, 6:30 ABC, the Bedlam game. Oklahoma's the 10th ranked team in the country, Oklahoma State 7th. Both teams still have hopes, maybe, if everything goes to chaos today and next week, that perhaps a team out of the Big 12 still has a shot at getting into the college football playoff. And this matchup between these two teams, really for Mike Gundy, it's a chance to like establish himself and this team as not the second, the bridesmaid. And they could actually be the bride here when Oklahoma, for the last few years under Lincoln Riley, has really ruled this rivalry.
Well, this is set up perfectly for them. I mean, Oklahoma State's defense is only giving up 15 points a game. They're only allowing 82 rushing yards per game, which is the second overall defense. Like, oh, who's got the number one defense in the country?
Georgia,
right? Who's got the number two?
Oklahoma State.
It's Oklahoma State, which I don't think a lot of people know, that Oklahoma State does indeed have the second best defense in the country. And if you look at it, Caleb Williams, right? His first three starts was completing 77% of his passes for Oklahoma. His last two starts, teams have started to figure him out. Now, he did play Baylor and Iowa State, who do have good defenses. Now you say, okay, well, Oklahoma State has the second best defense in the country. So against those two teams, Caleb Williams only completing 47% of his passes and 13.5 yards per completion, which is down from his first three starts. So they're playing better teams or teams are starting to figure him out because they have more tape on him, or it's a little bit of both, which it could be, right? So you mentioned the playoff implications. Oklahoma State, if they win this game, according to the playoff predictor, which we'll get into more a little bit later on, has around a 40% chance to make it if they win this game. And this, to me, is the best chance that they've ever had, that Mike Gundy. Mike Gundy's 2-14 against Oklahoma. So he's got a chance right now to not only to establish themselves, but, you know, he's starting to take, if he takes over, like, this is a down year for Oklahoma, right? So he's getting Oklahoma at the right time while also having a very good football team. Like, Oklahoma State's nothing to just pass up. Like, they're a legitimately good football team this year.
Yeah, and I think you talk about the defense, and give credit to Jim Knowles, the Oklahoma State defensive coordinator, and they've really done a good job confusing young quarterbacks. So Caleb Williams, true freshman starting for Oklahoma, because of the down year, I mean, it's one loss, down year, but you also have kind of talked here on the show all year about pointing out the style points. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma's played a lot of close games. They make a quarterback change midway through the season, and this true freshman now in a rivalry game against Oklahoma State, that's something that we're going to have to keep our eyes on because of how good the Cowboys are on defense. This is just the third meeting between the teams where both teams are ranked in the top 10. Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy has a 2-14 record against Oklahoma. Think about that. Also, the 20 combined wins between these two teams, the Cowboys and the Sooners, it's tied for the most entering a Bedlam game. Usually you don't get two teams that are both already at 10 wins heading into this game, this rivalry game, and Oklahoma has won 6 straight against the Cowboys. So, you know, the game is at Oklahoma State, maybe some home cooking, the better defense, maybe a little bit better quarterback play. But this is also a moment for Caleb Williams to kind of show up for the Sooners, mm-hmm. establish himself. And if Oklahoma wants to make anything out of this season, win the Big 12 and be in the conversation in case someone else slips. And then you're into the college football playoff.
You want two bedlams?
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Because if Oklahoma wins today, you get two bedlams.
Yeah. I'm in for that. I like rivalries in the championship game. I'm okay with that.
If Oklahoma State wins, you get Oklahoma State against Baylor, who is leading in their game right now. But yeah, Bedlam 2, Electric Boogaloo wouldn't be too bad, I guess.
I guess a different question would be, are you okay with the way that the Big 12 handles their championship game, where there is just one big conference and not divisions? You know, in the Big Ten, we have the East and the West. We have in the SEC, the two different divisions. Mm-hmm. We have in the Pac-12, you have the North and the South. So, like, do you like that it is the two top teams out of the Big 12 that make it to the Big 12 championship game? Or do you want to see it divvied up? And then you have a situation where likely you would place Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the same division, thus only one of those teams getting out of division play to get into the conference championship.
I think that with all the teams leaving and new teams coming into the Big 12, it probably would be beneficial for them to split it up into conferences, right? Into, you know,
divisions
within the conference. Yeah. So I think that, we know Oklahoma's leaving. We know Texas is leaving. So, yeah, you're not going to have the rivalry games. Are we still going to get Bedlam after Oklahoma moves to the SEC?
I hope so.
I mean, we get Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
They're not in the same conference.
Yeah, I would assume so, because the way the SEC schedules their final 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Most teams are playing nobodies the second to last
Unless
week.
Unless you're Alabama and you're playing Arkansas.
Second to last week. And then, but like Georgia didn't play anyone last week.
No.
And so then they kind of set up their final weekend in a situation where they can face off against a rivalry, especially if they're outside of the conference.
Yeah. So I would like to see some of those rivalries preserved. Like, I would like to see Bedlam preserved when they move. But if not, it's a good opportunity to kind of split it up into divisions, because you've got, you know, Cincinnati's coming in, right? And then you've got like other teams coming in. So you've got teams that you could split up and create new rivalries by splitting them up into divisions.
6:30 ABC, the Bedlam game, Oklahoma on the road at Oklahoma State. State is 7th in the country, Oklahoma 10th. That's a game to keep your eyes on later on tonight. Also, quickly, did you know
Texas is back, folks?
With all of the scores that have taken place on Friday and Thursday in college football, did you know that Texas played yesterday? Are you aware that Texas played a football game?
I am aware that Texas played a football game.
Think about where Texas is at.
Yeah.
When they played a football game yesterday, not on a full day of college football.
Texas is back, folks!
You want to know how pathetic Steve Sarkisian is with that team? They're 5-7. They beat Kansas State yesterday 22-17. Mm-hmm. Did you know that game took place?
I did, yes.
Did you watch it?
No, I did not watch a second of it.
Do you know where it was broadcast?
I
don't know. I was watching football yesterday. I didn't see it anywhere.
It was on Tubi.
I'm just saying, are you kidding me? Texas played on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Didn't see anything anywhere. They won. It was congrats to Steve Sarkisian. Seven-win Sark. Didn't get there in his first year at Texas.
It was on Tubi.
What a shock.
Tubi.
I was watching a lot of college football yesterday, and then we also, you know, late yesterday, we had the Apple Cup. Right? We have Washington State putting it on the Huskies from Washington. Junior goes to Washington State. The Palouse was loose yesterday. Junior's on ESPN 1000. What's up, Junior?
What's up, guys? Good morning.
How are you up this early? Morning?
You sound tired, man.
I'm calling just for you guys. I had to share it with my boys.
Thank you for covering last night as well. Appreciate that.
I've been in Pullman, man, since 2012. And last night, I don't have words. I don't have words. There's been big games before in the past, and I understand back home no one wants to hear about some small town in eastern Washington. But, you know, there was Mike Leach, Coach Leach got us in the top 25 a couple times. Yeah. Beating Oregon with the great Gardner Minshew in Pullman was amazing. But last night, going up to Seattle and finally getting that monkey off our back. And I harassed you guys 2 years ago leading up to the draft about Anthony Gordon. Love Anthony Gordon. He was there last night. Love Anthony. But Jaden Delora, maybe I'm just being a homer and stuff, but that kid's special, all right? That kid is special. And the reason I was calling is I know CB, you're a Pac-12 guy.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds, what are our chances that Oregon State helps us out and gets us into the Pac-12 championship game by beating Oregon tonight?
I think it's likely. Oregon State's been a sneaky good team this season.
Yeah.
I like Oregon State. They just re-upped Jonathan Smith, their head coach, with an extension because I think USC was sniffing around that, lurking in the background. In Oregon,
you guys are just getting everybody paid this year, aren't you?
Yeah, that's basically what we are.
USC is just flirting with everybody to get them
that
paid.
Girl. Yeah. No one comes home with us, but they're all getting new bracelets. That's what's happening. I think he got a chance. I think he got a chance.
I hope so. And just lastly, just because I know you guys are up against it, especially with this year, everything, I don't know how closely you guys have been following up here, but everything that's gone on at Washington State, finally getting rid of that, I know we're not political, but that ignorant Nick Rolovich out of here.
Yeah.
Selfish piece of garbage. It's been great. Last night was worth it. I know I'm a prisoner of the moment. I hope to give Coach Dickert an extension. He's the guy. He did what Mike Leach couldn't do in almost 10 years. And not to badmouth the great Mike Leach, but last night was amazing, guys. I wish you guys could have been in our small little town in eastern Washington to see the city was on fire. It was amazing.
Thanks for the update, Junior. Enjoy,
awesome.
And good luck to the Cougars, all right?
Take care, guys. Thank you. Go Cougs.
That's loose, Junior loose. In Washington. He was at the game. Washington State, they beat Washington last night 40-13. The Cougars are now 7-5, 6-3 in the Pac-12 as they wait to see whether or not Oregon and Oregon State, that matchup later on today,
we need
how that plays out.
We need a scoreboard update.
We absolutely do. This
Michigan game has already had everything in it.
All right, well, there's a score already at the Big House. We'll get an update coming up next.
Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
With Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Chicago's home for sports.
Man, are all scones that dry?
Yeah, that's what a scone is.
Really?
Yeah.
You can only eat it with a beverage.
Yeah, that's what scones are, or scones. I watch a lot of the Great British Baking Show, scones. They're called scones.
Scones?
Scones. Here, they're scones. Or if you're from Chicago,
scones.
Scones.
Scones. Plucking Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate. Let's get a top 25 scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
With Tyler Aki. Here's Tyler.
What's going on, gentlemen? We'll start in the great state of Georgia, where the number one Bulldogs have a 10-0 lead over Georgia Tech.
Cupcake.
Wacky things starting to take place.
Cupcake.
In Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan throwing an interception in the end zone, but they do have the 7-0 lead right now over Ohio State. However, the Buckeyes are driving. Baylor, the number 8 team in the country, the 10-3 lead over Texas Tech. Wake Forest, number 18 in the land. They're up 14-0 over BC. Number 24, Houston on the road. They've got a 7-0 lead over UConn, but the Huskies inside the Houston 10 right now. In Florida, the Gators, the 7-0 lead over Florida State. Seminoles with the ball right now. And since it might be the last time we do this, Abdallah's Big Ten team currently trailing Maryland.
How about
13-2.
13-2. Maryland over Rutgers.
Out in Piscataway.
That's the heart of Big Ten country there, Tyler. Rutgers in Maryland.
You got to get that New York market, man.
Yeah. Tyler Aki with the top 25 scoreboard updates here on Chicago's College Tailgate every 30 minutes. With Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. Let's talk about the Iron Bowl. Alabama at Auburn, 2:30, CBS, the number 3 ranked team in the country. The Crimson Tide face off against their arch rivals, War Eagle. Abdallah, give me some rivalry thoughts as you head into this game, because we can go through the different metrics for today's game, but obviously this is a matchup where Auburn seems to show up even when they're in a down year.
Alabama is 47-37-1 all time in this series. But if you go back the last 7 Iron Bowls at Jordan-Hare, Chris, Bama is 2-5 against the spread in those last 7 games. And I'll never forget one of the worst feelings in the world. The worst feeling in the world. 2013, 32 seconds left. Auburn ties the game. Alabama marches down the field. Doesn't get very far, decides to kick a field goal with no time left on the clock. They kick the field goal. Obviously, we know what happens. It is the kick six. It is the worst feeling I've ever, as a sports fan, the worst feeling I've ever had. Ever. What? Like, I'm still mad about it. Go to overtime. Take the knee. What are you doing? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. And I remember them saying, because I remember Adam Amin was on the call. Our good friend Adam Amin was on the call. And I was so mad at him for being on the call of that game. And every year now, I go, hey, are you calling the Iron Bowl? No, good, because I don't want some weird stuff to happen again when you're calling the Iron Bowl, because it was on ESPN. And so it was the worst. That's just how much this game means. Now, no Bo Nix in this game as we get to today's game. TJ Finley had his first start last week. He went 17 of 32 for 188 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. I mentioned it earlier, Chris. This is the, if you go by SP Plus, there was an article about this that Bill Connolly wrote, who does SP Plus for ESPN. In terms of SP Plus and Football Power Index, this is the worst Alabama team in a decade. Now, think about that. By Alabama standards, they're the worst team they've had in a decade. By every other college football team standard, this is the number 3 team in the country right now, as far as the college football committee is concerned. Now, I think that they're susceptible. I don't think they're going to lose the game today, but it is certainly not going to be a 21-point game. Like, this is a rivalry game. This is in Jordan-Hare. This is a defensive front of Auburn that can get to the quarterback, and this is one of the worst. I think this is the worst metrically offensive line that Nick Saban has ever had at Alabama. So they can get to Bryce Young. If you can get to Bryce Young and put them behind schedule as far as second down and third down goes, they are susceptible. You saw it against Arkansas last week. Arkansas, I went into that game telling you, Arkansas rarely blitzes. What do? They drop 7, sometimes they drop 8, and it's going to be tough for Bryce Young to maneuver that with the extra guy back there. Well, guess what? They blitzed the hell out of him and got to him a bunch of times. So it was a problem. Teams adjust. So I think that Auburn's going to bring the heat against Bryce Young. I think it's going to be tough for them. I think Alabama is going to try to get Brian Robinson going. I think you're going to see a big game from Will Anderson, because Auburn's offensive line is having their own problems, obviously with a backup quarterback in there as well, for without Bo Nix in there. It's going to be a close game. I think Alabama wins, But I think it's going to be a close game, much closer than the experts think, as they would say.
Auburn has won the last two Iron Bowls played on the Plains, three of the last four. 2 years ago, the Tigers returned two Mac Jones interceptions for touchdowns as they beat Alabama 48-45, and it knocked Alabama out of the college football playoff. And then there was 2013. Chris Davis's 109-yard return of a missed field goal on the final play.
No. So I guess if this thing comes up short, he can field it and run it out. All right, here we go. 56-yarder. It's got, no, does not have the leg. And Chris Davis takes it in the back of the end zone.
Shut up.
He'll run it out to the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50,
45.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight. Holy cow. Oh, my God. Auburn wins. Auburn has won the Iron Bowl.
The Auburn Tigers Radio Network with that call. Chris Davis, the 109-yard touchdown return in the Iron Bowl as we play the Alabama fight song to try and get off the bad vibes from that highlight of Dalla.
You hear this?
Yeah.
How many rings do they have?
That's you taking your ring and knocking it on the table.
How many rings?
I don't know.
You get a ring for winning the Auburn, for winning the Iron Bowl? You get a ring for that? I don't think so.
That's so fantastic.
I don't think so.
This is great. So Alabama, Auburn, the Iron Bowl, CBS 2:30 later on this afternoon.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close. It's going to be stressful.
Yeah.
They're not going to cover. Don't bet Alabama today. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Bet the over. Love the over.
Bluck and Abdallah coming up next. We have the playoff predictor. Ooh, we're about 1 week away. 1 week and one day away from the final college football playoff rankings. They will be released on December the 5th. That Sunday will be Selection Sunday for the college football playoff. Playoff predictor. That's next.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Immerse yourself in the world of college football.
Now, back to more.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate, and it's time to take a look at the playoff predictor on ESPN.com. Each week throughout the college football season, they simulate the playoff predictor, and it gives us who the top four is at that moment, projecting out who will get there at the end. Now, it's important to note, the college football playoff selection show is next Sunday, December the 5th. That's when we will know who the four are in to the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how we stand today on the playoff predictor. Number one, Georgia. They've been number one for almost the entire season.
Yeah, as soon as Alabama lost, they went to number one, yeah.
So Georgia's number one, 99% chance, which would suggest if they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, they'll still
be
into the playoff.
Yeah.
Number two, Cincinnati. They won yesterday, so they're now 12-0. This was suggesting that they would be number two before they added that additional win yesterday. 65% chance for Cincinnati.
They'll face Houston in their championship game.
Number three, Ohio State at 10-1 with a 61% chance to make the college football playoff. And then we get to number four, Alabama at 10-1 with a 60% chance to make the college football playoff. Now, before we discuss Alabama's situation, number five is Notre Dame at 10-1 with a 53% chance. Number six is Michigan at 10-1 with a 29% chance, obviously playing Ohio State at this moment. Number seven, Oklahoma State, 22% chance at 10-1. Number 8, Oklahoma at 10-1 with 11% chance. And then less than 1% is Baylor at 9 at 9-2. Baylor also playing at this moment. But we have a couple of matchups of teams that are in the college football playoff predictor, right? We have Ohio State and Michigan playing right now.
Yeah.
We have Bedlam later, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. What does this mean for Oklahoma? All right, what does this mean for Alabama? Knowing that the SEC championship game is looming, and a lot of people will favor Georgia as the team to win the SEC,
yeah.
How can Alabama hold on to that spot?
Well, they're a 3.5-point favorite right now because that game is set. There's no, even if Alabama loses today to Auburn, they still are playing in the SEC championship game. It won't matter because they'll already have two losses at that point, right? So basically what Alabama has to do is win and get in, right? You beat Auburn today, you beat Georgia next week, and you're in. That's it. If you lose, you're out, as you should be. No two loss teams in the college football playoff. I don't care if you're telling me, oh, but if who played who, whatever. The four is sacred to me. Until they expand, the four is sacred. No two loss teams in the four. Put Cincinnati in, put Notre Dame in after they beat Stanford tonight. Put everybody else in that has a one loss except for a two loss before you put in a two loss team. Because as soon as if Michigan loses or Ohio State loses today, they're out. Michigan with the 7-3 lead right now as they start the second quarter. So if that holds, Ohio State's out. Michigan goes to the Big Ten Championship. If Michigan beats either Wisconsin or Iowa, they win, right? Wisconsin has to lose today for Iowa to get in. If Wisconsin wins, they're in the Big Ten Championship. So to me, it's simple for Alabama. You win and you're in. If you lose, you're out. Now, I'm surprised that it's only a 3.5-point spread at Georgia. But sure, whatever. If Alabama finds a way to beat Georgia, Kirby Smart's never beaten Nick Saban, so there's that. But this is a different Georgia team this year. Now, as far as the other matchups are concerned, we mentioned Ohio State and Michigan. If Oklahoma State wins today against Oklahoma, goes to the Big Ten or Big 12 championship game against Baylor, beats Baylor, they have a chance only if Alabama loses, maybe Ohio State loses, and then Michigan loses in the Big Ten championship games. Ohio State could lose in the Big Ten championship game. Notre Dame, for all the crap we give them about not having a conference title game because they're not in a conference,
yeah,
sitting pretty outside now, just waiting for someone to be picked off. Because the second someone is, they're moving right up there.
I would like to see, though, and I know it's unrealistic, but I know the future for BYU, they're joining a conference in the future.
Yeah.
But like, it would be cool to see BYU and Notre Dame play as like the two independents to then give them a chance to suggest that they are conference champions or the champion of the independents. But like, you laid out this whole situation. How do you think it's going to take place next Sunday? Because I think a lot of the things you suggested could happen, if not are likely to happen. And I think we could have a conversation leading into next weekend, especially on Saturday, heading into that Oklahoma State Big 12 championship game. If a Big 12 champion should be put ahead of Notre Dame, or did Notre Dame do enough to this point? Because like what I could see happening, say Michigan holds serve here. They beat Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you would automatically assume that Michigan would beat Iowa or Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game. So I think what will end up happening, unless Ohio State goes on a huge run and they blow out Michigan today and they blow out Big Ten champ, I think it is possible the Big Ten doesn't get a team in the college football playoff. Cincinnati's there. Georgia's there.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be a conversation between Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, that Big Ten champion, if it is a Michigan, if they don't get blown out by Ohio State.
I don't think it's a conversation, because I think that you have a Notre Dame team that has 10 wins, you know, that if they win today, they'll have 10 wins, right? If they get to, if they beat Stanford, their only loss is to the number 4 team in the country right now. Like, their loss is better than Oklahoma State's loss. Oklahoma State lost to Iowa State, who is not ranked right now, I don't believe. So their loss is better than Oklahoma State's loss. I think Oklahoma State needs Alabama to lose. They need Ohio State to lose. They need Cincinnati or Cincinnati to lose against Houston. Houston's a ranked team.
Yeah, no, they're winning right now. That'll be a good football game, yeah.
And so I'm saying, like, there is a chance here that Oklahoma State gets in. They need more to happen than Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame can just sit at home next Saturday with no conference championship game and just watch somebody get picked off. And then as soon as someone's picked off, they're going to get in.
Well, that's why I think the Notre Dame-Oklahoma State-Oklahoma conversation's interesting, because in the Football Power Index, Oklahoma is ranked the fifth best team. Notre Dame is 6. Oklahoma State is 7. Now, if we look at strength of record, Notre Dame is 4. Oklahoma State is 5. If we look at the strength of schedule, Notre Dame is 42. Oklahoma State is 48. So I wonder if the committee will value that conference championship game over a team that is going to next weekend just sit and watch.
Yeah, we say that every year, but it's Notre Dame, and they get in if they have a chance to. It's Notre Dame. They just do.
Speaking of Notre Dame, let's preview the Fighting Irish on the road at Stanford coming up next. Also, we have a top 25 scoreboard. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2